words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Throughout this season of Advent, the first reading that we have had from Scripture each week, the reading from the Hebrew Scriptures, has come from the prophets. Each Sunday during Advent, we have heard an Old Testament lesson in the prophetic voice. In the particular lessons that we have heard, the particular prophecies that we have heard are ones that over the centuries, many Christians have found to be a foretelling of the coming of Jesus. Hence, we hear them in this Advent season. Whether or not that foretelling of Jesus was really a part of the initial message, the specific purpose of the prophets when they wrote, is hard to say. On some level, it is unlikely, because in general, the prophets just really weren't in the foretelling the future business. That wasn't what the prophets did. That wasn't the message that they set out. They weren't in the foretelling business so much as they were in the truth-telling business. Truth-telling in their present day. Truth-telling for the people to whom they spoke, for whom they wrote, the present day of their own time. The truth that they told was God's truth. This is what God is like, they reminded the people. This is who God is. This is God's hope for your life. Right now, today, quite often they felt compelled to point out to the people how the people's response to God was falling short. But it was in that time that the prophets sought to bring together God and God's people, to renew the people's awareness of God and worship of God in the time in which they wrote. Over these four Sundays of Advent, we have heard from Jeremiah, Malachi, Zephaniah, and today, Micah. All of them reminding the people of a God who is strong, who is present and active in their lives, and who desires righteousness, who desires that the people live up to the best of God's hopes for them. Strong. Present, desiring righteous action. Jeremiah writes about the righteous branch that shall spring up and who shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Bring justice and righteousness. Malachi speaks of a God who is like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap, who will purify the descendants of Levi until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Zephaniah last week reminded the people that the Lord their God is in their midst, with them. Micah today certainly speaks of Bethlehem, but he also speaks of a God who shall stand in strength to feed and care for his people. And we actually hear from another prophet today as well. We hear from Micah in the Old Testament reading, but today we also hear from the prophet Mary, who proclaims this God who is strong and who seeks justice, has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. Mary's words and her proclamation stand very squarely in continuity with this tradition of Old Testament prophecy, a description of God's power, God's presence, God's desire for justice, God's strength. The prophet Mary. It's pretty remarkable, really, that Mary, as a woman, was given prophetic voice and was heard as a prophet. The message itself is important, and I'll come back to that, but it is noteworthy that Mary proclaims it. Writing in 1891, not exactly a time of rampant feminism, biblical scholar B.W. Johnson wrote, "Elizabeth and Mary, whom we heard today, are the first prophets of the New Testament." Prophets of the New Testament. And in today's gospel reading, we hear Mary's proclamation, the second half of the gospel appointed for today. That proclamation, that prophetic proclamation, is often called by the name of the Magnificat. Perhaps you have heard that name. Anyone who listens to church music has heard it, because there are innumerable musical settings of the Magnificat. I don't know how familiar it may be. It is a cornerstone of Christian worship and has been for centuries, the Magnificat. If you do know it, if you have heard it, "My soul magnifies the Lord." In the Latin translation, it began with the word Magnificat, hence the name. Different translations say, "My soul magnifies the Lord." "My soul shares forth the glory of the Lord, glorifies the Lord." If you do know that portion of scripture, that proclamation, I wonder sort of what your general feeling or general impression of it is. Most of us know the first two lines the best. "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God, because he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant." Older translation said, "on the lowliness of his handmaid." There was a piece floating around the internet this past week, written by a young woman who had grown up in the church, I think in the evangelical tradition, and had always had a really hard time with Mary. She was asked to play, she wrote, "Mary in the Pageant," and was very reluctant, because all she had ever heard about Mary was Mary meek and mild, Mary lowly and docile, Mary only a subservient handmaid. That was the only Mary she knew. She didn't really know the Magnificat, which speaks of this fierce, prophetic Mary. It's an interesting exercise, perhaps, especially if you know this passage, especially if you know the Magnificat, to read it and listen to it again and imagine it being spoken by a male prophet. And how different might it sound? "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts." Prayer Book translation says, "He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. It is a powerful prophetic statement. One of the other just tricks, though, of understanding it is that the verb tenses are odd in English. It sounds as though it's in the past tense, and it actually uses a Greek tense that we don't have in English that means past action that is continuing into today and the future. So this prophetic proclamation doesn't just say that God brought down the powerful in the past. God continues, the prophet reminds us, to bring down the powerful from their thrones and to lift up the lowly. This is who God is the prophetic witness. God present, powerful, active, seeking justice in the world today. Regardless of your perspective on Mary and how she is or should be viewed, this passage, the words, the proclamation fit perfectly into the prophetic tradition. It is a proclamation of God's promise. It is a truth-telling in the present tense of God's purpose and God's activity. Contemporary scholar and preacher Fred Craddock has written about the Magnificat. Luke expresses in sharpest focus what has been called a classical statement of God's activity. The lowly are raised and the lofty are brought low. And in this case, there is no doubt that this prophetic proclamation refers to Jesus, to who he is and to what his mission will be. God made known, made real in the baby in the manger is in continuity with the God of the ancient prophets. Mary reminds us of that. A God who, yes, establishes justice, scatters the proud in their conceits, but persistently, without any break or flag, cares for the lowly. A God who never ceases to act for and care for the lowly. It is the prophet's job, whether in the time of Jeremiah and the time of Mary, or as these words speak to us today, it is the prophet's job to hold out in front of us God's vision for us and for our world, to help us see God's vision for us, especially in times when it may be hard for us to see. The prophet's job is to help us see and remember and know God's vision for us and for our world, and who God is in our world. God's purpose in the birth of Jesus is to bring food to the hungry, to bring hope and peace to everyone whose soul is starving or bare. To bring food, to bring hope and peace to those who are physically hungry and to those who are spiritually hungry. To comfort and lift up everyone who has been brought low, trampled down or marginalized by this world, or brought low by anxiety, confusion, or fatigue. To comfort and lift up all those who have been brought low. To anyone who is hungry or lowly, in our world, among us, in our own hearts, to anyone who is hungry and lowly, the prophet Mary says, Christmas is for you. Jesus is born for you. To bring good things